I'm Dan Cassidy, and this is UBS's Top of the Morning. Today, we turn our focus to the Yield and Income monthly publication and highlight the investment benefits of both MLPs, or Master Limited Partnerships, and Preferreds. We will also discuss an outlook for each area and more. So joining me for today's conversation, Senior Fixed Income Strategist Americas, Frank Saleo, and MLP and Utilities Analyst Americas, Jay Dobson. Both Frank and Jay are, of course, from the UBS Chief Investment Office. So Jay, Frank, good morning. Welcome back to you both, and thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having us, Dan.
It's great to be here, Dan.
Jay and Frank, I know you're each here to talk about MLPs and preferreds respectively. Now, both of these sectors are included in the monthly yield and income report, which was just published last week. So, Frank, let's start with a discussion of that report. So what can you tell us about the yield and income publication to lay some groundwork for our listeners?
Yeah, good idea. Just in general, the Yield and Income report is published each and every month. It's a multi-authored, multi-asset class report, and it focuses on yield-oriented sectors from across the investment landscape. And inside the report, you'll find 11 one-page summaries, each pertaining to a different sector, plus a one-page summary of a different highlighted closed-end fund every month. So it's really a very easy read. You don't have to read it cover to cover. Start in the front, work your way back. Start in the back, work your way to the front. You can start in the middle. Focus on the sectors that you're most interested in. And those sectors included in the monthly yield and income report include dividend-paying stocks, U.S. government and municipal bonds, high-yield and investment-grade corporate bonds, preferreds, REITs, MLPs, large cap value stocks, emerging markets equities, just a slew, about a dozen or so different sectors, again, with each with a dedicated one-page summary. Now, the key to all this is that all of these sectors are included in the report, and they also align with the sectors included in the yield-focused portfolios that we at CIO launched just last year. And in the back of the yield and income report each month, you'll find the strategic asset allocations, or what we call SAAs, for those portfolios. These SAAs are designed based on research led by Jason Dreho, our head of asset allocation, and they were designed to not just maximize yield, but also to optimize expected return and risk. And this allows the SAAs then to offer higher yields than what you find in existing house view portfolios, but at similar levels of expected risk and total return. One of the ways the yield-focused portfolios do this are by including what we're calling yield assets. So when you look at the SAAs in the back of the yield and income report, you'll see all of the sectors listed there, about a dozen or so, and they're grouped into three categories. You see the equity sectors in one group, the fixed income sectors in another, and then there's a third group we call yield assets, and those are comprised of senior loans, REITs, real estate investment trusts, as well as preferreds and MLPs. So that's what ties this all together. And the key here, Dan, is that these yield assets, when we look at the returns historically, they tend to have low correlations to one another and low correlations to traditional assets. And that's what gives them diversification benefits.
So it sounds like there's something for everyone, and you can approach how you choose to comprehend the piece in a variety of ways, as you pointed out for us,
exactly.
Frank.
It's a very user-friendly document.
Absolutely. And I know, as you mentioned today, we want to highlight the investment benefits of MLPs and preferreds. By the way, this Yield and Income Monthly Hope Springs Eternal is up now on UBS Online Services. But Jay, perhaps we can start off with the investment benefits of Master and Limited Partnerships, or MLPs, and you can also speak to what drives performance within that sector.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Master Limited Partnerships, as you pointed out, or as we affectionately call them, MLPs, the acronym, are yield-oriented tax advantage structures for midstream energy investments. Think pipelines, storage, that sort of midstream energy infrastructure. Equity investors get the benefit of an above-average current yield, which is about 7.5% currently, and a structure that makes the annual distributions tax-deferred. Now, as Frank hinted, in yield yield and income, a 7.5% yield is pretty competitive among yield-oriented investments now. For some, MLPs are a four-letter word when we sort of think of the current investor sentiment around the group, and that's really because the performance of the sector has been difficult since 2014, and I would argue maybe that's putting it politely. The poor sector performance in 2015 to 2018 was primarily driven by the collapse in oil prices in 2015 and 2016, and the resulting impact on the broader energy industry. This wasn't unique just to MLPs. Now, our listener, any of you might ask yourself, why would these stocks, MLPs, trade lower with crude oil prices? But what you have to remember is midstream energy infrastructure companies provide pipeline transportation and related services to these oil and gas producers, importantly based on long-term contracts. So as we stand here today with oil prices, the oil price decline pretty far in the rearview mirror, what's different? You know, as we're here in 2019, the MLP midstream energy industry has, in my opinion, four improved characteristics. First, they have much stronger balance sheets. Obviously, less leverage is good. Second, they have higher cash flow and distribution coverage. That obviously is a good thing since it gives more cash to both cover that distribution and invest in additional growth projects. Third, they have more retained cash flow. This reduces the need to sell new equity to fund rising capital expenditures. And four, more disciplined management teams. I think that's a really critical point. You know, I always joke MLPs are a structure, not an asset class. Management is really important when we look at MLPs. But when we put all of these characteristics together, I think it makes some of the large and mid-cap MLPs quite interesting for or income-oriented investors at current valuation levels. Now, you might ask, what are the drivers of valuations and investor interests in the MLP sector? And I'd say they include the overall health of the energy industry, which I'd argue is improving, or improved certainly, as well as more specific needs for additional energy infrastructure in the United States, given the rapidly growing production of oil, natural gas, and natural gas liquids here in this country. Though MLPs are often grouped with other income-oriented equity investments that are sensitive to rising interest rates, we believe it's important that the intermediate-term growth that MLPs have, you know, really offsets the interest rate sensitivity, sort of giving us a 9 to 10% expected total return as we look forward, even in a modestly rising interest rate level from current levels. Overall, I think the MLP sector is interesting right now. I look forward to a bit more discussion on the outlook for the sector before we wrap up this podcast.
Yeah, and before we get to that, Jay, and thank you, by the way, for the background, the investment benefits and the performance drivers specific to MLPs, but I know we also want to touch on that likewise for the preferred space.
Yeah. It's there are some similarities and some differences, and it's really the differences that are key in what makes adding both preferreds and MLPs into a portfolio, what gives them those diversifying benefits. But in terms of the commonalities, one of the main benefits of preferreds, similar to MLPs, it's yield. It's the yield. Typically, preferreds offer yields actually that are comparable to double B rated high yield bonds, even though the issuers of the actual preferred stocks are usually higher quality issuers with investment grade rated senior bonds or their investment grade issuers. And specifically, most of the issuers of preferreds tend to be the large U.S. banks that we all know, all of the household names. So how are they able to do this? Why do preferreds offer yields that are comparable to double B high yield bonds, even though the issuers are investment grade rated? It's because preferreds are subordinated. They're lower in what we call the corporate capital structure of the issuer. And corporate bonds, in contrast, have a higher claim on assets and payments than preferreds. Preferreds, when we look at the corporate capital structure of an issuer, of a bank or whomever's issuing the preferred. Preferreds are pretty far down when it comes to a claim on assets and payments. They're senior only to common equity, but subordinated to everything else. So in exchange for that subordination, the investor gets a yield premium as compensation. And so when you mix together those two things, the investment grade rated issuer on one hand with the subordination of the securities, the preferred stocks on the other, you wind up with yields that approximate those of double B rated high yield bonds. And currently that's in about the 4 to 4.5% range. Not as juicy yield wise as MLP, but not too shabby nonetheless. Another similarity with MLP is the tax advantaged nature of those coupons. A little different rationale behind that tax advantaged nature, and I won't go into the weeds on that, but suffice it to say that unlike bonds, preferred coupons often count as QDI, qualified dividend income, to the investor. So as a result, they're taxed at a more advantageous rate. I believe the highest tax rate or the QDI rate is about 23% now, so which is a benefit to the investor in QDI eligible preferreds. And then when it comes to performance drivers, because of the yield orientation, you know, similar to MLPs, interest rate volatility will have an impact when rates rise rapidly the way they did in September and October of last year. You will see a pullback in preferreds. On the other hand, when rates are more range bound, as they've been for most of this year, it's a much better environment. The second major risk factor and performance driver for preferreds is credit risk. That's a little different than somewhat from the MLP space. MLP, as Jay mentioned, one of the performance drivers and risk factors is the oil price at times. That's not a consideration preferreds, but more of a consideration preferreds than MLPs is really credit risk, credit drivers, credit spreads. We find that preferreds tend to be more correlated at times to high yield bonds and investment grade corporates. So when we're in a period of time when investors are in a risk off mode, when risk tolerance is very low, risk aversion is high, sort of like the experience we had in November and December of last year, then again, you'll see a greater pullback in preferreds than you otherwise would. On the other hand, an environment where equities are kind of just chugging along, S&P 500 reaching new highs, the kind of environment we've been in, again, all this year, that's a better environment for preferreds. So all in all, this has been a pretty good year for preferreds so far in 2019.
Okay, so final point, I know we want to touch on outlooks for both MLPs and preferreds respectively. Jay, do we want to start with MLPs?
Frank, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, as I finished up that last question, this has been a very good year for preferreds so far. It's coming off a very difficult fourth quarter, but we've experienced a very strong rebound so far in 2019 in the preferred space. As we just recently closed April, we've got 4 months in the books, a third of the year down, and the preferred space, the preferred sector is up by about 10% year to date. So a pretty good performance out of the gate. Now, of course, looking out for the remainder of the year, I do expect that trajectory to moderate. I don't expect a 10% for the next two-thirds. We're not going to get a 30% return in 2019. But having said that, the backdrop remains very supportive on both counts of the risk factors and performance drivers that I mentioned. When it comes to interest rates, we'll hear from the Fed today. They're wrapping up their FOMC meeting, but we expect them to be firmly on hold. The latest PCE inflation data showed the inflation rate to be at the lowest it's been in a year. So there should be really no reason for the Fed to act and return to hiking rates anytime soon. And that should support rate stability, which is a positive for preferreds. On the credit risk side, you know, I mentioned earlier, individual credit risk is not so much an issue for preferreds because these preferreds are issued by investment grade companies. But again, as I mentioned, when we go into a risk off sentiment, kind of like we did in November and December, when investors get very nervous and panicky, that could impact preferreds. more broadly. But as we look out on that count, global growth is already beginning to stabilize. We expect that to continue. Here in the United States, the U.S. economy remains strong. The labor market seems to be chugging along, doing very well. We got ADP payroll numbers this morning that were better than expected. The other day, we got personal spending that was better than expected. Retail sales recently rebounded very strongly. All of these factors indicate that the consumer is well supported and therefore the economy is well supported. That should support the credit environment. And again, a wonderful, beautiful backdrop for preferreds. The third point, valuation. We've had this tremendous rebound this year, but preferred valuation doesn't look overextended to me. Now, to be sure, there aren't a lot of bargains out there. There are a lot more bargains earlier in the year after the big sell-off in December. But I would say the sector looks fairly valued. And as a result, I think the sector can hold on to the gains they've made so far this year and even add incrementally through the end of this year. But I would expect more volatility along the way and wouldn't be surprised if we see a negative month or two for the remainder of the year, but overall a pretty decent backdrop for the rest of 2019.
Okay, so we'll turn to Jay. We're very polite here on Top of the Morning.
Yes, that's true. Right.
Absolutely.
After you, sir.
Absolutely. So, Dan, turning to Master Limited Partnerships and their outlook, I mean, very similar to what Frank said, you know, we've started 2019 with pretty solid performance. You know, Master Limited Partnerships, or MLPs, are up about 16% on a total return basis. I think the outlook from here is positive, though probably a little more muted than 16% in 4 months. What I would say is we've been emphasizing selectivity in the group with a focus on higher quality MLPs with what I would call durable competitive advantages. Now, the backdrop of this is we need more energy infrastructure in the U.S. given the rapidly growing production of oil, natural gas, and natural gas liquids here in the U.S. This need, as we can see in the Permian and in the Marcellus, areas of high production growth, will drive additional capital spending for MLPs and, again, ultimately drive additional growth. What that all sums up to is probably a 9 to 10% expected total return. As I mentioned earlier, that would break down to be, call it 7.5% yield and, you know, let's call it, you know, 2 to 3% price appreciation. I think the end of the day, we've got stronger balance sheets, as I mentioned, more disciplined management teams, and all of that comes together, I think, to actually drive relative performance over the balance of 2019. You know, the last thing I'd mention, and I get this question a lot from investors, is, you know, after these, you know, more difficult, you know, 3 years, what brings investors back to Master Limited Partnerships? And I think the answer really is, you know, more durable, sustainable distributions that have higher distribution coverages, hence making that current yield, that 7.5%, which even I'll admit sometimes you pinch yourself and say, God, is that really real? Makes it more durable. You mix all that together, I think we get a more sustainable outlook and hence performance for Master Limited Partnerships looking forward. So I'd say in summary, the outlook looks pretty positive looking forward. It's going to be more muted, but, you know, if I get 7.5% and call it 2 or 3% capital appreciation, giving me a 9 to 10% total return from here. That's pretty darn good.
What did you say year to date was 16%?
16% total return.
I thought 10% for preferreds was good. That's why you wanted me to go first.
Save the best for last.
Exactly. It'd be a tough act to follow. So.
Well, Jay and Frank, always fun having you both up here in the studio. Really appreciate the time walking us through the Yield and Income monthly publication for the month of May. Title is Hope Springs Eternal. But we really highlighted today the investment benefits, performance drivers, and outlook of both MLPs, Master and Limited Partnerships, as well as the preferred space as well. But Frank and Jay, always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Dan, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And again, we have been joined by Senior Fixed Income Strategist Americas, Frank Saleo, and MLP and Utilities Analyst Americas, Jay Dobson. Both Frank and Jay are from the UBS Chief Investment Office. So as I mentioned, many publications available now up on UBS Online Services. That, of course, includes the Yield and Income Monthly for the month of May, title of which, Hope Springs Eternal. So if you are a client of UBS, be sure to contact your financial advisor. They can provide you a copy of the Yield and Income Monthly directly. Top of the Morning, we'll be back again for you tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you.